Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
It's Kareem Hunt, and there's new video released by TMZ of an incident at Kareem Hunt's. It's an apartment hotel, which means that it's a place you can live at, but it's a place you could also rent a room at as well. There's places like that in downtown Denver. He's from the Cleveland area. He went to Toledo, and in February, he and some friends got some girls together, and they went out on a party bus, and things went sideways at the end of the night, as sometimes things do. The accuser in this particular case is 19 years of age. She shouldn't have been with them in the first place, no doubt about it, but I can't tell the difference between a 19-year-old Al and a 23-year-old. I can't tell the difference sometimes between a 16-year-old and a 25-year-old. It's a blurred line, no doubt about it. But there are two different stories. One story says they found out her real age and they kicked her out with her friend. She became belligerent. Her side of the story is they wanted her to be with one of their friends in a sexual way. And when she said no, they kicked her out. Either way, she was kicked out of the apartment, and then the story goes that she started yelling and screaming for a long period of time. In the video, you can see Kareem Hunt come out and definitely has an expression on his face like, what are you doing? Or stop what you're doing, or you can just tell by body language and expression that there's a conflict and there's something going on. In the video from that point, she comes towards him in a kind of a confrontational way. And then as she's approaching him, he shoves her. When he shoves her, one of his buddies obviously realizes this is an issue and jumps in. And he goes off. Kareem Hunt is visibly upset. She comes towards him again. And with his buddy standing in between them, he goes to push her and does push her, but is somewhat blocked by his buddy. From there, he goes out of screen, and you see her again going towards him and another friend of his, and there were several young people, white, black, young people, all of them. He gets there. This guy's wearing a black T-shirt, and she goes up towards him like she's moving forward, and then kind of out of the hallway, kind of out of nowhere, Kareem Hunt pushes him. He runs into her. Both of them fall down on the ground. Neither one of them hits their head on the wall. One of the reports said they slammed their heads on the wall. They didn't. And he pushed him. He goes into her. From there, it's more yelling and screaming. And one of the accuser's friends has a camera. And she's videotaping this whole thing. So one of Kareem Hunt's friends goes and grabs her camera away. Phone. Like an iPhone or something. Then she is obviously not super stable. She did not hit her head on the wall. So she's doesn't have her balance. It wasn't because of that. She goes to kind of squat down. And as she's squatting down, Kareem Hunt goes up to her and kicks her in like the left butt cheek, which knocks her over. And that's the end of the episode. Al, I hope I got that right from what you saw in the video as I described the whole thing. That's pretty much how I saw it.
Yeah, it was pretty shocking, and you wonder, in incidents like this, how could an NFL player get himself into an issue like this and a running back at that, who's at the top of his game? How in the world could this happen again?
Well, that's a good question, but I would make this argument. Not to defend his actions, but I see incidents or potential incidents like this. When I first got here to Denver in 1999, so almost 20 years ago, I'd go out to Lodo. I'd go out. I'd hang out and, have some fun. I wasn't exactly a big party club guy, but I've been in those situations. I've seen what party buses are all about. You got together one of the most fun party buses of all time. When we went back and forth to Boulder, it was fun getting a party bus or a limo with about 12 or 14 people, whatever. Ah, that's a fun time, right? Nobody's driving. Everybody's having a good time theoretically. And you're kind of bar hopping. You're having a good time. So I can see potential like this happening in every city in America with young people. I don't think older people generally roll like that. I think it's more of a younger 20-something crowd. I'm not saying that people in their 40s couldn't do it. But the 20-somethings, you know, nobody's driving. Everybody's partying. It's February. It's not even during, not even close to the season. It's the time when NFL athletes sometimes take the entire month off, rightfully so. So how could he get himself in that situation? I'm actually here to say, I don't know if the situation he was in is any different than happens with a lot of young people. And people drink, and they get in fights, and then bad things happen. It's kind of one of those, you know, what good happens after midnight sort of situations. And they claim that the girl who is, now there is a slight racial component here, because the girl that was the accuser is white, and his friends accuse her of dropping the N-word left and right after she got thrown out. But what is right and what is wrong? Well, the NFL policy is pretty clear since the Ray Rice incident. And there just is no wiggle room in the NFL policy about calling somebody a bad name, the amount of alcohol that you had, you know, like excuses for your behavior. Those aren't in there. There aren't mitigating circumstances that say if somebody calls you the N-word, then it's okay to push, shove, or kick them. So it, to me, it's totally different than the Ray Rice incident, but it still fits under the guidelines of the NFL suspension policy in this incident. And clearly, Al, to me at least, I'm curious about your opinion, but clearly, and this happened in February, he should have got a 6-game suspension. And even though it's not the worst thing in the world, you cannot deny that he made physical contact with a woman and he did kick a woman. And it wasn't like, you know, some sort of vicious kick that would send her to the hospital. I mean, he barely knocked her over, but he still did it. So to me, Al, it's kind of a no-brainer that he should get a 6-month suspension. What the Chiefs,
6 months or 6 games?
6 games. Sorry. 6-game suspension. And what the Chiefs choose to do with him after that is their own business. They're okay with what happened with Tyreek Hill. And where they go with Kareem Hunt, who knows? Would I want him to join the Broncos? Nope. Sorry. It's kind of like yesterday. I'll pass on a guy like that. I don't think he's the worst guy in the world, but I'll just pass. We got Philip Lindsay. We got Royce Freeman. He's a really talented guy, but, you know, it's just not somebody we need. What the Chiefs do with them? Pretty good team. Tough time for him to be suspended right now, that's for sure, huh? But he's not make or break for them either. He's not their most potent weapon. He's a good weapon, but they got lots of good weapons over there in Kansas City.
He's an explosive player. NFL leading rusher from a season ago and a devastating runner as far as the Broncos are concerned.
I don't know why the NFL did not have this tape. I don't know why. Now, there were no charges
pressed. It
felt like
they were negotiating something before it just slipped out.
Yeah, I don't know. But clearly,
if it happened in February, law enforcement may have just got the video, but I doubt that. I mean, we're talking about this is November, man. That's almost a year ago.
I think it's negligent by the NFL to not do a deeper investigation and suspend this guy for 6 months.
Per ESPN's Dan Graziano, Kareem Hunt has reportedly been sent home from Chiefs practice. He reports Hunt will likely be placed on the commissioner's exempt list, which means he'll probably not be able to play this Sunday against the Raiders.
And so the commissioner's exempt list is what?
Like paid, basically the same thing that Reuben Foster is on right now. You're on paid leave until the situation gets resolved.
Well, I like that temporary solution. That happens. Sometimes
Adrian Peterson was on the exempt list.
Suspended before you get fired. They give you the timeout. That's what I thought, you know, in all honesty, I thought Gotsis should have been, they should have given that a timeout, let it resolve itself, and then you can figure it out one way or the other. And whether you're guilty or not or whatever, I mean, just, hey, time out. Let's really look into this. Why the NFL didn't act quicker on this, Al, is anybody's guess. I don't think it's that hard to get hotel footage.
Well, how did TMZ get it, you know, at such a late date?
TMZ knows people. They pay off people.
Right.
There's, you know, people take bribes.
Hotel employees who right. say, oh, I'm going to hold on to this one.
Sure. All it takes is somebody in a security room with the video on their cell phone to get a copy of it, right?
Right.
Lots
still were clear the move to be put on the exempt list has not been made yet, but it is expected to be
but
made.
But Kareem Hunt was sent home. That's what the Chiefs did today. Who are the Chiefs playing this week? The Raiders? Yeah, they could probably survive the Raiders without Kareem Hunt. So what do you think, Al?
I think it's awful. I sat there and watched it with my wife, and she was like, well, look like his career is done because of the Ray Rice incident, and it never looks good when you kick a woman. You know, it never looks good. So whatever the commissioner or the NFL or the Kansas City Chiefs decide, it'd be hard for another fan base to look elsewhere. It's going to be the Chiefs or nobody. No matter what was said.
What do you think should happen to him?
You know, I don't know. At the very bare minimum, what the NFL put in as a 6-game suspension fits this circumstance.
Well, they haven't done that yet.
Fits it right now. Right now it fits
it. You think that looks clear?
Oh, that fits it.
Okay.
Yeah, it fits it.
Agreed.
But how they proceed after that, you know, we're talking about a team that's in a Super Bowl window this year, and they may lose, you know, their number three player.
I think the NFL has to act swiftly.
They can't
wait on this.
Well, I mean, considering it's how would you feel if it was just a 6-game suspension and he was able to return?
I'd be okay with that for this particular case. Yeah. Yep.
Because he couldn't believe his story. Because of what was said to him?
No. I'm just basing it just off the video.
You would have been okay with Ray Rice getting a 6-game suspension?
No, I felt what Ray Rice did was worse.
So degrees of bad.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think there's different, you know, not everything is the exact same. I mean, Ray Rice was a closed fist. She's knocked out. You know, this type of thing with Hunt is not acceptable, but it's not that. Now, he may have lucked out because his buddies were holding him back.
And her didn't hit the wall.
What's that?
And her head didn't hit the wall.
And her head did not hit the wall. Right. Like, he got lucky. Like, her head hits the wall, and she's close to, like, the elevator sort of thing where there's an edge, you know, between the opening and the wall, that sort of thing. Yeah, man, she hits a wall. She has some sort of trauma, head trauma. Yeah, it'd be way worse. That's the way things go, man. I mean, sometimes you luck out a little bit. He probably lucked out. His friends probably saved his bacon. I mean, he was going crazy. But you don't know what can you punish somebody for what you think they would have done? All you can do, I don't think you can, by the way. Either you did it or you didn't do it. And if there's video, you kind of know what happened and what didn't happen. You can't punish on what could have happened.
Well, this is the third instance that we have an athlete on video punching a woman.
He didn't punch a woman. Joe Mixon punched that girl.
Joe Mixon did punch the woman as well as Ray Rice. So this is the third time a video has been released, whether it be a college athlete or a professional athlete.
Well, to me, it's different than Ray Rice and Joe Mixon. I mean, a closed fist punch to the face, that was Mixon and Ray Rice. This was two pushing incidents when she came towards him. He kicked her when she was crouched, kind of knocking her over, tipping her over. And he pushed a buddy of his into another guy, or he pushed a guy into her. I mean, it's not great. It definitely is like, you know, and I, like we had this conversation yesterday. Could he be on your team or not on your team? I wouldn't have him on my team. But I don't think it, you know, suffices a lifetime ban, or he shouldn't be allowed to play in the NFL again. But I think a 6-week suspension, which is what the NFL dictates by their own rules, is warranted. And it sounds like you agree.
I agree on the punishment as a bare minimum. I mean, it just
would you have him on your team after a suspension? I mean, that's another question.
I don't know. I probably wouldn't.
Why? What's changed?
I don't know, man. It's just something vile about seeing a man kick a woman. Like, you say a closed fist, but I'm like, man. Closed fist, kick, same thing to me. Maybe you didn't kick her, you know.
I think if he kicked her in the head, yeah. If he kicked her hard in the stomach or ribs, yeah.
Right, all right. Did he kick her on the leg because that's what he...
Yeah, it was...
Was he going for the leg? Was he just, just kicking her?
To me, it was...
I don't know.
I think if you see it for yourself, you'd understand.
I've seen it.
Well, you really think that's as bad as what he did kicking her?
I just don't like the way it looks.
Of course,
just saying it's
terrible.
It looks bad. So
it's terrible. I wouldn't have him on my team, and the NFL should act swiftly. But do you think he should be banned for life from the NFL?
Banned for life?
Yeah.
I don't know. Rest of this season sounds good.
Do you think the Kansas City Chiefs should cut him?
Cut him? That's up to them. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that, but I think a suspension through the end of this year is warranted.
I mean,
that's an easy call, D-Mac, because there are only six games left.
The Chiefs have set, so you allow them to play in the postseason?
No.
Throughout, you'd be done with
them. Yeah, this year is done.
If you're the Chiefs, forget it. You're done. Okay, that sounds good to me.
Maybe six games next year, or eight games next year.
Well, the Chiefs are their own organization. They can do whatever they want. You know, they can do whatever they want.
But, I mean, all these things are arbitrary, right? I mean, we have a rule now. Before, we didn't, you know, the rule was so weak.
The rule is much stronger now.
Six-game suspension, you know, that's
the rule states a six-game.
That's almost a third of your pay in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, that's severe. But they're okay with Tyreek Hill on the Chiefs.
What exactly happened with Tyree?
Big Sexy and I were talking about it earlier. He pled guilty to domestic violence and was on 3 years of probation. Now, this happened while he was in college. It did not happen when he was a pro. But the NFL rules say you can be held accountable for things that happened to you before you were in the NFL if something else happens to you when you join the NFL. So, for example, if Tyreek Hill had the same incident that Kareem Hunt just had, he would definitely face a more severe punishment than six games because he has something that happened in his past, even before he was in the NFL.
And just so we're clear, August of 2018 marked the three-year anniversary of him pleading guilty to punching and choking his pregnant girlfriend. He had 3 years probation.
Punching and choking his pregnant girlfriend.
As part of his plea deal, he had to complete a 52-week batterer intervention course and was under supervision for 2 years.
I mean, he pled guilty.
And since he completed all the terms of his probation, he had it expunged from his record, and he is now good to go.
Yeah. When you say you get expunged, that's for legal sort of reasons, you know, that. But the NFL doesn't have to pay attention to that. That's legalese. That doesn't mean that the NFL has to forget about it. The Chiefs are all right with that, though. They've kept Tyreek Hill. He is a star in the NFL. He is a valuable weapon for them.
Oklahoma State did dismiss Tyreek Hill from their team after that incident.
Oh, so he was at Oklahoma State to start.
He was at Oklahoma State. That incident happened, and then he got kicked off the team.
Well, don't forget, A.J. Johnson was kicked off Tennessee, had a three-year trial, and the Denver Broncos gave him a shot. So... It's not like we're saints around here in Denver Broncoland.
I correct me if I'm wrong here, but the woman that Joe Mixon punched actually came out right before Joe Mixon was getting drafted and said that she was kind of making amends with Joe over the whole ordeal.
Yeah, there's women in this cycle of violence that, you know, for psychological reasons are sometimes become okay with their abusers. It's terrible.
Or maybe they provoke and say partly that was their issue as well.
Yeah, I mean the circle of violence and the psychological causes and effects are amazing. Ray Rice is still married to his wife, I believe that he laid out, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. Yep. They got married afterwards. They were just boyfriend and girlfriend at the time.
Don't ask me to. Hillary Clinton stayed married to Bill, right? Like, I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, there's some things in the world that don't make sense to the average person, but still happen, despite all common sense. That's probably for another deeper show with smarter people than us to figure out why. But that doesn't matter. That's neither here nor there in terms of what we're looking at. It's just the impact of an athlete on a team. And this does come, we were in this conversation yesterday, 24 hours ago. And now we get a real life case. So I would guess, based on the Chiefs being okay with Tyreek Hill, that they'll be okay with Kareem Hunt. And if they're not okay with Kareem Hunt, why are you okay with Tyreek Hill? Right?
Because his is not on video.
There you go. Video changes everything, doesn't it?
Video changes everything.
Just came across an article, September 28th of 2018. Tyreek Hill gets engaged to the woman he pled guilty to assaulting.
Yeah, it happens all the time, sadly. Again, I don't know how to psychologically examine why women go back to guys that beat them. I can't tell you why.
It was almost 4 years after the incident.
It's not the first time. But that's their personal lives, and it's that's on them, I guess. The bigger thing is, how do you feel about teams that are sort of okay with that? How do you feel about athletes like that? For football reasons, you'd want Kareem Hunt on your team, Al. I mean, come on, give me a break.
He's a great player.
I mean,
plays with a lot of heart, a lot of desire, a lot of will and want to.
For football reasons,
For football reasons, Ray Rice should never be out there. It shouldn't have never been out of the NFL.
I'm not so sure. He was on kind of the downside. He'd been having a pretty mediocre career every year.
He was injured his final year.
It wasn't going great for him football-wise.
I'm just saying the guy was a hell of a running back.
For example, Chad Kelly is just...
He doesn't get a second chance.
Yeah, and watch. His case will probably be completely dismissed. He just wasn't a good enough football player. If he was, more teams would be knocking on his door. And he was never.
Urban Foster just got picked up by the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, they're taking a lot of crap. I was digging into that a little bit more today. There's quite a bit of heat on the Redskins.
Apparently,
for that.
Doug Williams came out and apologized after those statements that he made yesterday.
Right.
So.
These are all positive things, by the way. We've probably been too lenient in our society, and it's good that we hold men to a higher bar of responsibility for their violent actions towards women. Doug Williams comparing, actions to political figures is absurd. What are you even doing? It wasn't very intelligent of Doug Williams.
You got to remember who Doug Williams was.
I don't know anything about Doug Williams.
Nothing?
So he went to Grambling, and he won a Super Bowl.
Over the Broncos.
Aside from that, I don't know much about Doug Williams. Grambling, right? I think he went to Grambling. And he was a coach, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a coach.
Okay, that's about all I know.
You don't know what happened while he was a coach?
What happened when he was a coach? I don't know.
All right, you got to do a little digging on that then.
Do I have to?
You don't have to.
All right, well, we'll see what happens with the Kareem Hunt and Chiefs story. Anything else to cover on that? Because I'm fine to move on and talk about other things. But is there anything else that you want to say? Or
no, it's just unfortunate. I would think that, man, after the Ray Rice, I mean, that thing feels like the wound is still open from that one. It feels like that was just last year. I mean, who would ever forget that video? And it's got to be the conversation that starts every football season. It's the conversation that starts the combine. Before you are even in the NFL, the vetting process takes care of that to know if you are or aren't that person.
Mm.
Unfortunate.
When we come back, what we learned about the Dallas Cowboys. Man, oh man, I thought they were going to be a dumpster fire. I guess not. Big Three is next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos.
The Big Three is presented by Sam's Number Three Bar and Diner.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three.
Yeah, we'll bring it up. I will. It's time for the Big Three. Here we go. Story number one. Saints lose to the Cowboys. I kept waiting for the Saints to sort of explode offensively, and it never happened. And it was a fact that the first time they had gone 71 straight games with scoring at least some points in the first half, and they were shut out. What did we learn last night? And the highest rated Thursday night game ever. How about that, too? What did we learn?
What we learned is that Drew Brees doesn't like pressure in his face. And what we saw is a Dallas Cowboy team that played inspired football at home, once again, at home on a Thursday night. When the visitors have to travel on that Thursday night game, we always say go with the home team. It's just that the Saints have been playing so lights out, man.
By the way,
just couldn't see it.
In Pick'em, not one person on the fan staff picked the Cowboys. Nobody. Usually somebody takes some sort of wacky chance. I mean, but everybody saw this game. That's quite an upset, though, Al, don't you think?
I do. I think that when you see great teams and they have off days, the off days don't look like it does when bad teams play. When bad teams have off days, you lose by 20. When good teams play and they have an off day, you saw the Saints, they lost by 3.
Insane. You know, the Cowboys are now in first place of the NFC East. The Redskins, if they win this weekend, they could tie them. The Eagles, defending Super Bowl champs, are 5-6. Is Jason Garrett getting fired? I don't think so. Right. I don't know why he would, Broncos.
Three!
I love this because I'm such a huge basketball fan, and we know how deadly the three-point play is in the NBA and in basketball in general. But there's one guy who is really not a fan of it. That guy is Greg Popovich. He says he hates the three-point play, and he always has.
Get off my lawn! I liked it when it was a peach basket, and we had to get a ladder to get the ball down.
He's hated it for 20 years.
Well, there you go.
That
is the ultimate get off my lawn moment right there.
That's a guy who's had the pleasure of coaching Tim Duncan and David Robinson as big men. You know, when you have the greatest, you know, two of the greatest big men that have ever played the game, of course you just want to feed those guys and, you know, make things happen.
The three-point shot has made games so much more exciting.
No doubt about
it. And has created such better quality athletes than ever before.
But it's also given guys access to play the game that probably couldn't play it athletically unless they could just,
but
you know,
it also challenges guys like Kevin Durant and Dirk Nowitzki and anybody who's a big man to be better as a shooter.
I think the
and Larry advent Bird, of the Larry 7 foot, Bird was 6'10 as well.
Right, the advent of the big man that shoots the three, it took me a long time to get to enjoy it because I'm like, hey man, big man, go down low.
Everybody knows
what that means.
Not anymore.
Go down low. I'll give you the ball. No.
No.
The big man's going to shoot the three.
Yeah, right. And the other big man's like Mason Plumlee are going to go rebound. And that's that.
Right.
When was the last time you saw a skyhook?
Three.
All right, Alfred. In terms of the Broncos and the Bengals this week, has anything changed for you, specifically because it looks like A.J. Green's not even listed on the injury report? So let me just start there. How does A.J. Green's availability change things this weekend?
I think that he's going to be the primary receiver no matter what. So they'll have the RPO game, and off the RPO, they'll run, you know, passes to get A.J. Green one-on-ones. I mean, if we don't stop Joe Mixon running the football in that scheme, D-Mac, then they're just going to keep on running it. But if we start loading the box and they have any success, A.J. Green is their go-to guy. But, you know, A.J. Green plays outside. Chris Harris plays inside. Don't you want to see Chris Harris kind of shadow A.J. Green?
Yes, I do. No doubt about it. He did a great job on Antonio Brown. So, yes, I would like to see that.
But Chris Harris was in the slot. If Antonio Brown was in the slot, then he got, you know, the matchup that he wanted with Chris Harris.
You know, they've got some other good receivers, though. AJ Green's special, but there's other good targets they actually have. Boyd's one of them, for sure. They've got some sneaky, okay players there at Cincinnati. They're just not playing all that well right now, Broncos.
Three!
Last night, I saw Jalen Smith, the outstanding middle linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys, make a hit on Alvin Kamara that would certainly have drawn a 15-yard penalty if it was week one, week two in the NFL. As a matter of fact, I anticipated the flag being thrown on the hit.
Mm-hmm.
Now that they've swallowed their whistle when it comes to those kind of hits, are you okay with it? Because I just knew the flag was coming. I'm quite sure everybody who watched the game knew the flag was coming.
The absurd overreaction so many people had in preseason that the football was ruined forever was just that absurd. You know, it was a test period to see what's going to work and what's not going to work. And anybody with a brain in their head would realize, well, things are going to mellow out once the season begins as we try to find our way. Yeah, I thought that was ridiculous, too. I thought, you know, it's, to me, that's what you want to take out of the game. I was surprised, too. I mean, is that where you're going? I mean, I was surprised.
I was surprised. I'm just saying now that, you know, that we are this deep into the NFL season, you know, in, week 13 of the NFL, that those plays are no longer outlawed at all.
Well,
they're not outlawed.
I don't know about that.
I mean, maybe on a wide receiver crossing the field, but D-Mac, I bet you there has been less than 10
unsportsmanlike
penalties all year.
Can we talk about the truth here for a second?
Go ahead.
Violence in the NFL is one of the most appealing parts to the general audience. And why guys and players do what they do to each other sometimes is beyond my comprehension. You would think they would look out for each other more. But the nature of the sport is going to bring actions like that to happen. And deep down, inside of your soul, you know you still want it to happen. You know that we're not far away from you got jacked up and...
going back to all of that?
If we're just keeping it real.
Okay.
I think the athleticism of the NFL and these guys is crazy. But without violence and gambling, is the NFL really the NFL?
Without gambling, no. Without the less violence, yes.
Okay. But then we'll see more scores like we did with the Rams and the Chiefs. And we'll see less games like last night. You'll see more like Big 12 football in the NFL. Are you okay with that? And if so, that's fine. You know,
I'm okay with high-scoring games.
It's fun to watch. I tell you what, I know there was a lot of eyeballs on that game last night. I watched it, but I didn't find it as entertaining as the Chiefs and the Rams.
You know,
it was a good game, though.
You know what the over-under is for Oklahoma-Texas?
Oh, my God.
77 and a half.
That's too low.
Over.
I'm taking the over.
There you go.
By the way, happy birthday, Bo Jackson. He's 56 today.
What a career he could have had. What kind of athlete would he have been if he didn't injure that hip? What would it have looked like?
What would have happened?
Could he have been
the Tampa Bay Buccaneers
if they didn't send him that flight right,
that made him lose his eligibility? Could they have become a better franchise?
If Bo Jackson stayed healthy, could he have been a Hall of Famer in two different sports?
That's good.
Think about that one for a second, because you don't have to be a Hall of Famer in football all that long, as TD proved out. What if Bo Jackson just played 7 years and they were unbelievable and played an additional, 10 years in Major League Baseball?
I just remember.
Can you imagine that?
This image of Bo Jackson running up a wall to catch a baseball.
Oh, he was so great at baseball. He was so fun to watch. When we come back, we'll revisit some of Philip Lindsay's interview with Peter King. That's fun to go through. And a crazy article about the Pac-12. I know there's a lot of problems in all these conferences, but I didn't know what was going on in the Pac-12, and now we do. Details next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
me now. Come with me now.
Before we get to Philip Lindsay, which was a fun conversation with Peter King. Hold on. Clumsy fingers, sorry. Yeah, I was said our listeners are great, and I love the ability of our listeners to reach out to us on social media, and I see it, most of it. There are some people who, you know, aren't nice. But one of the things I love is when I get sent information that I otherwise wouldn't see, and there was a, this lengthy four-part series about the Pac-12. Now, I've told you, since my son went to Arizona State, my interest in college sports has gone up, way up. And since my other son is looking at, you know, playing in college, I look at the Pac-12 just like, wow, I am just such a huge Pac-12 fan. I mean, I love CU already. I love ASU. Oregon State won the national championship in baseball. They're fun to watch. Stanford is the most beautiful campus I've ever seen in my life. Next to, you know, UCLA, which is unreal. You know, Al, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is an incredible conference to me. I love it. I just didn't realize how corrupt things were with the Pac-12.
You got to be kidding me.
I did not
know. College sports in general, man. I mean, we talk about this all the time. And, you know, the presidents of the university control how this system will work and how it will work forever. The NCAA has nothing to do with a college football championship. I hope you guys understand that.
Yeah,
all the NCAA has its umbrella over is regulation.
This goes a little bit past that, though, because
I know, but I mean, but you start with that, and then you say, well, if it's the presidents and the athletic directors that run everything and not the NCAA, well, what rules are there?
Well, there's the PAC, the organizations themselves, like the Pac-12 commissioner. There's the offices that actually run the conferences. And this is what this article is about. So it takes the presidents and ADs kind of out of it and points them as the bystanders to how the Pac-12 actually operates. And it's a very detailed article. I don't have time to go into all of it. But one just nugget is that when they're flying these Pac-12 people around, you know, the expense reports are crazy. Like, there's one guy with the Pac-12, the director of broadcasting. The Pac-12 offices are in San Francisco.
Huh?
The Pac-12 offices are in San Francisco. And this guy lives...
But there are no Pac-12 teams in San Francisco.
Sure there are. There's two, Cal and Stanford.
Oh, you're saying Pac-12. I thought you said Big 12.
No, Pac-12.
Okay, yeah.
So this is all about the Pac-12.
This is Larry Scott.
No. Well, yes, yeah, he's part of it. But I'm talking in this particular example, the director of broadcasting...
Oh, gotcha.
...is... works in San Francisco where the Pac-12 offices are. He lives in Los Angeles. So he's flying like back and forth on private planes. And it's like questionable, like who's paying for that? That's a small thing. How about this though? And I love the Pac-12 network, by the way. I have the Pac-12 app on my phone and it's terrific. They cover all the sports. So I'm, you know, I love football, but I will also watch other sports. I'll watch the basketball. So you know, if I can watch Arizona State play Oregon State in basketball, Al, it's right there on my Pac-12 app. I love the Pac-12 network on my, you know, TV. They have on-demand stuff. It's really fantastic. I love it. And Chad Brown works for the Pac-12 network. I love the Pac-12 network. Do you know the Pac-12 spends $6.9 million in rent alone for its building in San Francisco? Why in the world would the Pac-12 keep their home in the most expensive footprint in America? It's San Francisco. First of all, you don't need to be there, even though Cal and Stanford are relatively close. Frankly, once you get into San Francisco, you're landlocked anyways. And Cal's over across the bay, and never mind Stanford, which is in Palo Alto, way down south, near Santa Clara. To me, when I'm reading this, I'm like, well, clearly the Pac-12 offices should be in Utah, which is right between all the schools, right?
It probably should be in Denver.
No. Denver's on the extreme. If you're in Salt Lake City, no, you're literally between everybody.
That's not a charter member of the Pac
It doesn't matter. We're just talking about the broadcast locations and where the base of operation
Maybe
for their offices
should,
are.
It probably should be in Arizona if that's the case.
Arizona's pretty far away from Oregon and Oregon State and Washington, Washington State. If you're in Salt Lake City, you're literally, look at a map, you're literally in the middle of the Pac-12 if you're in Salt Lake City.
This article? I want to get a read on this one.
A listener sent it. I'll send you a copy of it. But that being said, when you see that at a conference, think about this for a second for these college kids who don't get paid. Just the offices and the Pac-12 network, which, by the way, is going to be up for bids next year. So we'll see who buys it. That could be a multi-billion dollar deal, by the way, if some, you know, seeing depending on what broadcast partner wants to buy the Pac-12 network. You've got an organization with college kids playing for free that decided it was a good idea to plant themselves in the middle of downtown San Francisco at $6.9 million a year in rent.
Mm.
So, just when I love college sports,
wow, Larry Scott makes $4.8 million per year.
Catches travel expenses.
Huh?
It's the tip of the iceberg. Just when I start loving college sports, Al, just when I get into things, and now they're pointing out, like, Washington State is really pissed off because they've got 10 wins and they're not in the top seven. They're the only major conference team with 10 or more wins that's not in the top seven. So Leach and their president, they're all upset there up there in Washington State.
What are they going to do, go to the Mountain West?
No.
They're not going anywhere.
They think that's, well, they're upset about a lot of things. For example, nobody sees any Pac-12 games because they're all played. They kick off at like 8:30 Mountain Time. Like if you're back east, that's 10:30. Now, of course, that makes sense, I suppose, for the West Coast for nice, you know, night primetime games. But nobody even knows people that play in the Pac-12. We do, but the rest of the country doesn't. So when you want to ask, by the way, this may be a bit of a tip, by the way, and we'll hear from Phil Lindsay in a little bit. Why is everybody surprised by Philip Lindsay? Now, we all know all about Philip Lindsay, right? I mean, he's obvious to us. But we have to understand Philip Lindsay, as great as he was in college, played in the Pac-12. And he played on Buffalo teams, one good one, but others that weren't so hot. Playing games at 1 o'clock in the morning back in New York City. You know, if you're playing, Washington CU and the kick is at 8:30, how many people, so Philip Lindsay goes for 250 yards, who knows about him? Like, do you think people really know who Khalil Tate is? I doubt it.
No. Well, from last year. I mean, yeah.
I don't think they even know him from last year. He had obviously a disappointing year this year.
Oh, no doubt. I would have never known who Khalil.
I would have known who would not have known who Khalil Tate was, and, unless you had brought him up, D.
I know you wouldn't, because the games are at 8:30 at night.
CU versus Arizona last year.
Probably not, because the game was at night. I think. Anyway, I don't know, really. Philip Lindsay, we'll set up Philip Lindsay, how great he is. But if you want to ask why Philip Lindsay didn't get that attention, you say, oh, well, D-Mac, Royce Freeman played at Oregon. Be like, okay, all right, fine. But I'd make the argument Oregon gets a lot more attention than CU. And I'm glad CU's in the Pac-12. I am. But every now and then, great players just fall under the radar because they're in a conference that people don't pay attention to. And maybe unbelievably corrupt in their corporate offices.
That sounded like a Big 12 deal, not a Pac-12 deal.
By the way, check this out. For two tickets to the SEC championship game, that'll run you over $540.
For two of them, so $270 a ticket?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the Pac-12 championship game that I think is going to be played in front of friends and family in Palo Alto with Washington against Utah, $28 a ticket.
Yeah, that game is played in the 49er stadium.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people from Utah and Washington just clamoring to go to that game. How many people do you think will actually be at the Pac-12 championship game?
So you're saying the Pac-12 championship tickets will be $28?
It's a bargain.
But probably because it's played in a remote location. I don't know why they're playing it there. Because
it's close to San Francisco. This is the drive on the fan.